My brothers and sisters in Christ, in my last parish, every Saturday afternoon, there was a remarkable juxtaposition of two distinct events. In the church, the first Mass for Sunday was being celebrated, and in the parish hall beneath the church, a soup kitchen was winding down after feeding homeless persons and poor families, some of them lingering over a cup of coffee as the volunteers cleaned up and put things away. The Lord Jesus was feeding his disciples with himself, the bread of life, in the church, while some of his disciples fed the physically hungry in the hall below. Now the Lord continues to feed his people, and in the broadest sense, to bless us. Not only do we enjoy the gift of life, and usually good health, and if not, we have good medical care available, the blessings of family life, friendships, the arts, sports, and much more that make this life truly agreeable, but more importantly, the Lord has infused in us at our baptism the virtues of faith, hope, and charity, which under the pulse of the Holy Spirit, if we cooperate with the Spirit, will mature during our lives. Huh? And the Lord has forgiven our sins and promised us the fullness of eternal life if we remain faithful. The compassion that moved him to feed a large crowd in Galilee moves him to sustain us each day by his grace. And in times of trouble, he's always available. Come to me, all you who are heavily burdened, and I will refresh you, he said. Words which we should never forget. And therefore, we should ask ourselves, do we acknowledge and thank the Lord for his blessings, or do we take them for granted? I knew a woman once who was quite poor, but who was always grateful for any blessing she received, be it a gift card to a local store or help with her rent. The words, praise God, were often on her lips. Some of her fellow parishioners, who had a little more money than she had, decided that she should go to Rome on a pilgrimage. So they paid for the whole thing. Okay, now, I was a student in Rome at that time, and I ran into her. Well, Mary, what are you doing here? She told me how she got there, and all I could think of was, praise God. But sometimes we take the Lord's blessings for granted. We develop, you might call it, a spiritual entitlement mentality. Okay? We deserve all that we have. Huh? We consider our health and social position a birthright, and our talents, accomplishments, and even our good works, the result of our efforts alone. A businessman I knew, and this is, it's got to be more than 40 years ago, told me at a gathering, he said, came up to me and said, you know, Father Brennan, I've totaled up my assets. I'm worth more than $1 million. That's when $1 million is $1 million, you know? And he was not ashamed to show it. He parked two costly Mercedes-Benz automobiles on the driveway out in front of his home, okay, so that everyone could see his success. In our conversation, he wasn't a bad man, but in our conversation, he never seemed to recognize that his health, his energy, his mental abilities were a legacy from his parents and other tutors during life, and ultimately from God. Blessings were taken for granted, it seemed, okay? More realistic is the verse from today's psalm. The eyes, referring to God, the eyes of all look hopefully to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Now, sometimes God blesses us directly. It might be an inspiration he sent to us in prayer, helps us figure something out, or the sacrament of penance, we receive God's forgiveness, or he might help us indirectly through our parents or a benefactor or an event, but he blesses us, he helps us. Now, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 was a great blessing to those who ate, but notice that St. John calls it a sign, a sign. Now, a sign points to something. In this case, it was supposed to move those who ate the bread and fish for which they had not worked to see in Jesus not a mighty king or military leader, but a religious Messiah come to save them from sin and death, worse enemies than the Romans. But the crowds stayed on an earthly level. They wanted to carry him off and make him king. They also wanted to eat well. And they came to find Jesus the next day, and Jesus said to them, "You're looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." He knew them. To use another image, they saw Jesus as their sugar daddy who would satisfy all their earthly needs. Now, as believers in God and disciples of his son, Jesus Christ, the right attitude on our part is to recognize and thank God for his blessings. But it requires more than lip service. The commandments to love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor, they're both in the Old Testament, but it was Jesus who joined them, who said, "You can't have one without the other." Yes, love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, but love your neighbor as yourself. The main way we show our gratitude to God for his goodness to us is in how we treat our neighbor. If we love God for his goodness, we love our neighbor for his need. That's what motivated the volunteers at the soup kitchen in my last parish. It's what motivates Catholics in this diocese to engage in good works, from running food pantries and used clothing stores to bringing communion to the homebound and teaching the faith to the young. You may not be aware that Catholic Charities of West Virginia won a grant from the National Catholic Charities Organization to provide follow-up care to frail persons who are discharged from Wheeling Hospital so that they don't end up back there because they could not take care of themselves adequately at home. A young sister of St. Joseph, trained as a social worker, is assigned to these persons to see that they eat properly, maintain personal hygiene, and take their medicine. And aware of God's blessings to her, this religious sister becomes a blessing to others. The way we treat one another reveals whether or not we truly appreciate the blessings God has bestowed on us. St. Paul in the second reading urges us to live in a manner worthy of the call we have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The call to adore and serve the living God is a great blessing to us, a great blessing. Striving to live in unity and harmony is our response to God's blessing. Paul stresses the oneness that pervades our faith, one body, referring to the church, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Unity, the unity of God reflected in our unity and harmony with one another. A parish church filled with believers praising God in harmony and unity, and a hall below staffed by other disciples working together to feed the hungry, revealed this unity of faith and love to me. Having been blessed by God, let us bless our neighbor.